Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In October of 1998, a low pressure developed in the Western Caribbean, and it grew into a hurricane, and it grew into a Category 5 hurricane that was called Hurricane Mitch. Meteorologists watched it carefully as it milled around and finally headed toward the Yucatan Peninsula. And the small country of Honduras breathed a sigh of relief when it finally lost its power and decreased to just a Category 1 hurricane as it came ashore. But then that Category 1 hurricane caused a big problem. It stalled over the little country of Honduras, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. For days, the rain came down. One location measured 75 inches of rain in that time. The runoff flowed rapidly down the valleys, out of the mountains, into the rivers, and off to the sea. One river, the Chulpulutec River, the water ran down it so quickly, so fast that it actually changed course. Rivers changing course is not such a big deal. It happens all the time. But in just a few days, Hurricane Mitch had changed the course of that river, and in the process of that had rendered a perfectly placed, perfectly built, strongly built bridge totally obsolete. The bridge had been built years before, and it was well placed exactly over top of the river. That bridge still stands today. It's still strong, it's still healthy, it's still able to bear traffic. So what is the problem? The problem is not that someone built the bridge in the wrong place. The problem is not that the bridge was poorly designed. The problem is not that the bridge couldn't withstand the torrents of water that came rushing down that river that fall. The problem is the river moved. And so there's a picture of that river and that bridge, and you can see that the river is now away from the bridge. I'm going to use that as a point to make today. You might say, what does that have to do with our text for today? Our text is Psalm 46, chapter or verses 5 and through 7. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nation rages, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the psalm that Luther wrote, that well-known hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. He based it on this particular psalm. We don't know exactly when this psalm was written, or we don't exactly know why, but clearly it was written to comfort people in a time of problems, of difficult problems. The she that's referred to in this psalm is God's people, Israel. Today, this psalm speaks to the church. She is the church that he is referring to. And so from this psalm, we conclude that no matter what problems we incur, what crises happen, no matter how the nations rage against each other, no matter how many countries are unstable, God is still in control. He speaks a word and the earth melts. He's so much in control that all he has to do is utter his word and the earth comes to an end. The point is that God is with us, helping us to get through, but he's not there if you don't ask. So we're talking about problems and bridges here, and how does this all come together? Well, we see what the problem is with that bridge. That's pretty clear. What's the problem in the church today? This church seems to be doing okay. We have money at the end of the month and all our bills are paid. We even have some money to disperse to some of the agencies around town that help the less fortunate. That doesn't sound like we have much of a problem. But we do have a problem in that we are not growing. And that's the problem of the larger church as well. It's the problem that the Senate has. President Harrison spoke considerably about that topic at the last district convention. And he listed several reasons that people think the church is not growing, and then pointed out that none of those are the reason. In the middle of the 20th century, the church was perfectly positioned, like that bridge was perfectly positioned over a river. The church was perfectly positioned to minister to reach out to society. It was a culture where everyone either went to church or knew they should go to church. People went to church and then were also the leaders of society and were able to include Christian values in society. In those days, if you built a church, people came. You didn't even have to invite them. In those days, we sent missionaries to Africa. Today, Africa sends missionaries to us. You see, the 60s was a time of rebellion. And in the 70s, we saw hurricane-like deluges of change. And in the 80s, things even got worse. And then we turned to the internet in the 90s. And all of this resulted in change. Major change. Society moved away from the church. And so today there are as many Lutherans in Ethiopia as there are in the United States. There are as many Baptists in an eastern part of India as there are in the southern part of this country. Today more Christians are worshiping in China than either Europe or in the United States. You see, almost as dramatically as that Cholutec River shifted away from its bridge during Hurricane Mitch, as we see there, the river of the United States culture shifted away from the bridge of the U.S. Christian Church. That's a little depressing, maybe a lot depressing, maybe even a little bit scary. But it doesn't seem to be anything new. We read in the gospel lesson today that some of the people stopped following Jesus because of what he taught. In the same way today, many people have stopped coming to church. We talked about that in Sunday school today. The number of people who identify themselves as having none when it comes to religion increases a little every year. Less than 10% of the people under 30 attend a church on any kind of regular basis. And many of us know that we raised our children in the church and yet they still have not come back. And so what are we to do? We can't abandon the culture that we live in. This is where God placed us. There's an old saying that says, "Bloom where you're planted." This is where we're planted. This is where God wants us to bloom. And so, what do we do? How do we do that? Do we change the culture? Probably not going to do that. Perhaps we can extend the bridge to the culture. Before we do that, let me talk about a couple things that we should not do. There's a story that I have told before about one of the docs at the clinic that I worked at. When she got a new patient, she tried on that very first visit to convince them that chiropractic was the cure for all of their problems and that they should continue care with her, that she could fix all of their issues. She came at them like a fire hose. In fact, people complained that listening to her was like trying to take a sip of water out of a fire hose. That's just not the way that we reach people. The fire hose approach to unchurched people is just going to blow them away. Rather than taking that fire hose approach, we need to meet people where they are. We need to do as God commands, and that's to love our neighbor as ourself. We need to remember that not all people are ready to hear the gospel. We need to remember that some people will reject the gospel. That's a fact. We need to remember that some people are going to deny that the Bible is true at all. We need to remember that some people are just going to scoff at the good news. But we also need to remember that some people are going to be ready, and they're going to want to hear it. And they're going to want to hear it from you, because you're the one who has befriended them and talked to them and been a friend of theirs that they can trust. Last week I talked a little bit about trying to pick tomatoes when they're not ripe and how that tomato will just not let go of the vine if it isn't ready to be picked. Well, not all people are ready to hear what God has to say to them. People who have a huge debt or huge financial problems are probably more interested in finding out how to get out of debt than how to get out of this earth into heaven. People who are struggling to raise a family are probably not going to be as interested in managing their children in church on Sunday morning. People who are dealing with the busyness of life, who have things going on all the time, are going to find it hard to fit a church service on Sunday morning in their lives. People who are focused on material things in this life, people who are doing well right now, are going to say, why do I need God? Look what I have done. I don't need God. Well, we know that's not true. We need to help them understand that, but in a fashion and in a way that they are ready to realize that. Relating to this changing culture is really a challenging task. And so we need to be supportive of each other as well. We need to encourage and embolden one another, because some may be ready when we talk to them. Hebrews chapter 10 has some good advice about this. We read this one in Sunday school as well. The writer says, and let us consider how to stir up one another. Stir up one another in love and in good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And we should do that all the more, he says, because the day of judgment is coming. We need to keep our eyes open. We need to see what God is doing in the lives of others. We need to be aware of people who are ripe and ready to hear the good news. And we need to befriend those people who are not ready to hear. But we need to watch especially for those who are in fact ready. As fast as the world is changing, I wonder if Jesus is not up to something. What is he up to? I don't know. But I can tell you that we cannot force this culture to go back to where it was 50 or 60 years ago. The only way to reach this culture is by extending a bridge to the culture, not trying to move the culture back to the bridge. You see, God is in control. and he has the ultimate answers. And since Jesus is already out there doing his work that only he can do, the best thing that we can do is join him on his mission. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.